Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Strongpreneur Podcast. I'm really excited about today's guest. It's my good friend, Sasha Burson. Sasha came here when he was 15 years old from Russia. He's been mentored by Darren Hardy, and he couldn't wait to talk today with us about what it takes to build a strong business. He talks about how he built and sold his mortgage company, decided to leave because he lacked the passion of continuing on in that business. And what was great about our interview is he really made the point of how important it is to do the hard work of knowing yourself instead of just settling for what you get. And why it's also important to study yourself and your life and to always be a lifelong learner. So it was a great talk with Sasha today. We got into business a little bit and talked about systems. He went on a deep dive with us on how to build systems in your business and talked about the five systems that run your business and how it's super important to make sure that you're giving those attention. And probably the most important thing that we covered today was who he was rooting for when Rocky and Ivan Drago fought each other. So join us today on The Strongpreneur for Sasha Burson. And when you're done, please head over to iTunes, give us a rating or a review over there. That would be great. It would help us to continue to bring the message of being a strongpreneur to so many more people. Have a great day. Motor hard.
Hey, thanks very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. And I remember you and I both met at this event that was put on. And at one point in the event, he said, go meet somebody that you don't know. And you and I were like standing there and started talking.
Yep.
And here we are a few years later, we've kept in touch. And I know a lot's changed in both of our lives, but you, I know a little bit about your story, and I just thought it would be a great, you'd be somebody just perfect to bring on to the Strongpreneur Podcast and share about what it takes to build a stronger life and all that good stuff. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and all that good stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I am a first-generation immigrant. I came from Russia when I was 15 back in 93, came here legally. I've learned to bust ass when I was... Am I allowed to say ass on the podcast?
Yeah, ass will work, but we won't go
okay.
Beyond that.
All right, fine, all right, fine. Cool. So I was very entrepreneurial from early age. I think I made my first money when I was 12. And I just kind of kept on going from there. I always wanted to be very independent. In fact, my mom still reminds me once in a while that I was 4 years old when I first told her I was moving out. Having a child of my own now, I kind of think that, yeah. So
why were you leaving? What was the issue?
She didn't want to buy me a little model airplane that I really wanted to put it together. Remember those plastic kits that you would glue together? And she just didn't want to buy it for me. And I was so upset.
That was grounds to leave right there, man.
That was grounds to leave at four. That's right.
All right. Well, check this out. When I was nine, it's funny, I didn't know that about you. When I was nine, I actually ran away on Christmas morning.
Oh, wow.
Because my mom wanted me to wear dress pants to church, and I hate dressing up. So I ran away to my buddy Darren's down the street, and they found me 2 hours later. So anyway, all right.
Merry Christmas, Mom.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, I'm not dressing up. All right, so you made money when you were 12. You wanted to leave when you were four.
Yeah. So I was actually making decent money when we came to U.S., and the one thing that really stunned me when I got here is that I always knew of America as the land of opportunity, but here I come to this country. I've studied English language for a few years before coming here, but it's one thing to sit in a classroom and study it, and it's another thing to practice it on a daily basis. So I come here, my speaking skills are limited, my comprehension skills are better, but my speaking skills are limited. But I'm just a 15-year-old kid, and I come to the land of opportunity, and there is none. As in, I cannot get a job. I go around looking for anything. I couldn't get a job at like a small hot dog joint. So that was somewhat devastating. Had to pick up language skills. Got my first job at 16. Did the usual stuff, you know, high school kids, college kids, you know, some retail. But I never lost never lost the fire for starting something of my own. And I did, I think I was 22 or 23 when I started my first US-based brick and mortar business. And that was a tiny mortgage company. I remember it like it was yesterday. We got registered and approved by State of Illinois on December 4th, 2001. Got our license from, back then it was called Office of Banks and Real Estate. Got our license February 22nd of 2002. And we were in business like February 23rd. of 2002, and that's when reality started hitting us hard. Just the fact that we bought all the equipment, had the office furniture, and the license didn't mean that we knew anything about running a business.
Right.
I'm going to fast forward a few years later. The business grew. It developed into a wholesale operation. And the last few years that I was in it, I definitely did not love it. I just felt really disconnected from it. I kept going until one glorious day when my former partner approached me and offered to buy me out. And I sold that business. When I sold it, I think we had a $10 plus million operation in 2009. It was really unusual because we were in the sector that was crumbling apart in 2008, 2009 span, yet we were doing better every quarter. And I sold that business, and there I was. I had some money. I was 30 years old, and I was like, now what? As I thought that all I knew was just that business, that industry. So I started to branch for another company, and I ran with it for a few months, made it very profitable within probably 6-8 months or so. And then one morning I was driving to work, and it hit me. I felt nauseous just thinking that I'm going to go to this office and do what I've done for the last, at this point, it was probably 11, 12 years. I hated the idea so much that once I got to the office, I went on Expedia, bought myself a package to go to my favorite thinking place, and that's Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And literally like 3 or 4 days later, I was on the plane there. What I did was I took no work with me, where I usually would have vacations. For years and years and years, I would go and I would work on a vacation. Mm-hmm. Here, it was me, a few CDs by Jim Rohn, and a workbook by Darren Hardy, my mentor. And that workbook, I remember the title, Design Your Best Year Yet. So I figured I'm going to spend a week there listening to lectures, thinking about my life, and figuring out what it is that I am going to do for the next 5 years. By the end of the week, I was done with the workbook, and the things that were missing from that plan were words like mortgages or financial services. And what was really there was a lot of uncertainty. As in, I didn't know what to do with myself. I couldn't understand my skill set. I was kind of lost. But I knew that what I really didn't want to do is go back to what I've done for the last decade plus. So the decision was made that I am going to stay at home, spend time with my son. He was like 2 years old at the time. Ride my motorcycles and study. And study to understand myself better so I would understand what it is that I am destined to do. So that was end of February 2010. And that's exactly what I did for the next 4 months. Until one fateful evening, a friend of mine and I were sitting in my backyard talking about his business. He's a chiropractor. And he looked at me kind of funny and he said, "Dude, you're bored." I'm like, maybe a little bit. He's like, "Why don't you do this for a living?" And I said, "Do what?" And he said, "What you've done for me for the last few years." And I asked him, "What's that?" And he said, "You taught me how to run my business better, how to get more patients, how to retain more patients, how to get better employees." And I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "And what?" And I'm like, "Have you made any money off of this?" He's like, "Definitely." And he told me the stories about implementing different things that I taught him. And it was like lightning struck that moment. I was like, "Oh my God, this is what I really want to do." I've had this tough experience building up my first business. Now I don't want other people to have that crappy experience that I had for the first few years. I'd rather teach them how to create the shortcut, go from struggle to success, not in 10 years, but maybe a year, 2 years. So I started the consulting business without knowing anything about consulting business. I became one of the best customers of Amazon. I bought up every book on consulting and business development and this and that. And I spent a lot of time reading and studying and implementing it with a few clients. And I've done that for probably a good 3.5 years or so. I had a few successful clients. And from there on, last year, a very close friend of mine and a long-term consulting client approached me and said, hey, how about we merge forces? Your company is small and my company is relatively small. I think if we put our strength together, we can grow a lot faster. And he drew me a picture that that just really spoke to me. And I said, hey, why the hell not? I've done this for 4 years. It's been a very rewarding experience. But now I want to put my boots on the ground at one organization and let's see how that works out. And I've been at it for 11 years. The name of the company is Intechnic. We produce high-end websites here. This is in no way a promotion or a plug for the company, but I am the president of the company and I am responsible here primarily for developing and perfecting the business systems that we have, doing high-end business development as in working with high-value clients. And I am also in charge of people here. I don't like calling it HR, but more like people systems, making sure that we have the right people doing the right things at the right times, and equally important, making sure that the wrong people go to work for competitors as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah, yeah, that's huge. You got to have the right people in the business. And so one thing that jumps out at me when I hear your story again is, you know, you refuse to settle for what you get. And that's something that's always jumped out about you to me. Meaning, you know, you had your successful businesses going, but you just weren't feeling alive. And then you went on your vacation and you became a student of yourself. You came back and you took another 4 months to decide who you were really going to be. And so, man, I don't really have a question behind that other than I just want to commend you for doing the hard work that it takes to really understand yourself and to not settle for just what you get.
I really appreciate that, Tom. You know, some time ago, and I wasn't born wise, and although I was very fortunate, I was raised by two loving parents, and my parents are both very, very well educated in the field of engineering, but they, just like all humans, they don't know everything. So although I consider both of my parents to be very smart people, they're not life wise. Mm-hmm. So it didn't come to me naturally, but sometime along my journey, I realized that what I really need to do is I need to start studying life. I need to start studying myself, because this life, it doesn't come with a manual. However, whatever you may be struggling with today, there is someone who already had this very struggle, figured their stuff out, came up with a solution, solved the problem, and then took the time to write a book about it. Mm-hmm. And in that book, there is that knowledge compressed. It could be a knowledge that was obtained over a course of 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and it's compressed into something that I can consume in a span of, 6, 10, 12 hours. That's a hell of a life hack.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
That's a great return on investment right there, man.
And you can spend literally like 10, 20 bucks to get the knowledge that takes 40 years to obtain. You can't beat that.
Yeah, so what was it that you became this student? You read these books. I'm sure you read a lot of blogs and you talked to people and you heard stories. And the truth be told is a lot of people do that. A lot of people have the knowledge. A lot of people read and they gather the information. What was it that enabled you to take the next step and actually do something with it?
Um, I believe I'm an entrepreneur to the core, and I think that one of the motors, pun intended, that we have inside of us as entrepreneurs is to be never fully satisfied. Mm-hmm. I never came to the point where I was like, this is as good as it gets. I am perfectly content. This is all I hoped for. If I ever got to that point, I would have definitely stayed in my first business because, man, it was good and it was just getting better as far as money goes. But I think it was Denzel Washington who said that money doesn't buy you happiness, but it's a nice down payment. Sure. That money was not even a good down payment. As in, once you're unhappy in your job, and I don't know, I probably worked 45, 50-hour weeks back then. But once you're unhappy spending 2/3 of your waking hours, it doesn't matter what kind of money you're making. You're just unhappy. So there was always a point that I came to in my life where I just said, that's enough. It's time to move on to something else. It's time to discover myself once again and move forward. I don't see almost any business as a lifelong commitment. I'm committed to my son. I'm committed to my mom. I'm committed to myself. But a business, it is something that you build, right? Mm-hmm. But as a good builder, you build something. It doesn't matter how big or small it is, but you build something, and then there comes a point where it's okay to move on. If you feel like it, you don't have to feel like you're trapped in this thing that you built.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to get into that a little bit here in a minute because there's a few words that come to mind when I hear your name. And one of those words is systems, because mm-hmm. you've always preached it as long as I've known you. Mm-hmm. But before I go there, can we talk about culture a little bit?
Yeah, it's your show. Cool. You tell me what you want to talk about, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we're good. Well, thank you. So, first of all, most important thing, did you root for Drago or Rocky?
Rocky, actually.
Okay, so I just had to get that out of the way. But
he was the good guy. I couldn't help it.
That's right. It'd be nice to be built like Drago, though, you got to admit. But how has America brought out the best in you?
Oh, man, that is a fantastic question. I hope I don't let you and your listeners down. I'll try to explain it best I can. And I've never been asked this question before. But for anyone who is listening, who has lived in another country, it is very, very easy. Very easy. I've been to a few countries. I haven't been all around the world, but a few countries. But at least for me, it is very, very easy to tell how America is so different than the place where I was born and raised. America to the day is the true entrepreneurial nation where things are possible to happen regardless of where you start. The country where I grew up, it was very different. When I was a kid, there were no opportunities unless you were politically connected. As in, it didn't matter what you did, unless you were doing something really illegal or you were politically connected. You'd make about the same amount of money, live in the same kind of apartment, and your life would be just as bland as everybody else's. I came from a land of almost no opportunity to the land of opportunity. Obviously, I struggled when I was a 15-year-old here, but America, as Jim Rohn put it, is a ladder. All you have to do is just climb. It is easy. I was once on a plane with a guy from California, and he's an Israeli living in California, and he's been here for a few years, and I asked him a similar question. I said, like, well, what do you like about America? And he said, one of the coolest thing about this country, here it's like the only country in the world where you can take a business that you like and just kind of press Control-C, Control-V. You're actually have so much opportunity here. It's just for the taking. Just have the drive, motivation, and perseverance, and you can do it. In most other countries, you cannot do it. You just don't have it. And I've been to a few countries, and if you can do it, it's a hell of a lot harder. So this country is still probably one of the freest nations in the world with the most opportunity, how it helped me bring out the best in me. I am forever grateful to my parents for making this very difficult decision to move to this country. And the reason for that is, and for giving me life, and giving me life in this era. America is a land of opportunity, but coupled with access to unlimited knowledge, I have access to any information I want, any kind of solutions to any kind of problems at any given moment, and I can implement those solutions very quickly. America helped me connect with people who are such thought leaders, either virtually or physically, that in Russia, it would be virtually impossible. For example, my mentor, as I mentioned, is Darren Hardy. He is the publisher of Success Magazine. I actually personally know him. If I have a high-level question, I can send him an email and he'll actually reply. Back in Russia, that would be impossible. America has, I don't know, America is just great. You know, I love this country. I wouldn't trade it for anything else. Now, I mean, obviously, just like as any other society, any other country, it has its own problems, a lot of problems.
Right.
But c'est la vie, as French say, you know, so is life. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about it? You just live another day and solve your problems.
So when you came here, you were 15.
Yep.
What would the 15-year-old Russian Sasha think of the guy who's on this podcast interview right now?
You haven't done enough. I mentioned that I'm not really content with where I am in life, and if I rewind 21 years ago and think about my dreams and aspirations of back then, I would probably tell my today self that you haven't done enough.
What are you most proud of?
My son. That's an easy one. He's such a great kid. He came into this world 10 and a half weeks early. Struggled for, well, he spent his first 42 days of life in an incubator. And he is just such a great kid. He's smart, he's very resilient, and he is probably the most social human being I've ever met. He does not understand the word no. He will make a friend out of any stranger in a nanosecond. He could do the things, I mean, I can only aspire. There are two men in my life. One of them has passed away. That's my dad. And I aspire to be as good of a father as he always was. And I don't think I'll ever get to that level. He was a fantastic father. And I aspire to be like my son in some aspects, because he's just such an awesome human being.
That's cool, man. That's so good to hear. And you know, I lost my dad a couple of years ago, and you know, we all have a unique journey with our fathers, and so I'm sure your son is going to aspire to be a lot like you when he gets older as well, if he's not already doing so. So.
I appreciate it. I'm sorry to hear about your loss. I didn't know that.
So let me.
Awesome.
Thank you, by the way. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about systems. A lot of small business owners hear things like you need to create systems in your business, and they, for the most part, I believe, understand that they need to do that. But what I hear a lot is they get hung up on what that really looks like practically. Could you walk us through, because I, like I said earlier, one of the words that comes to mind when I think of you as a business owner is systems. Your videos in the past that I've watched and things I've read and conversations we've had, it always comes back to that somehow. What does it look like creating a system in your business? You know, whether it's a lead tracking or a follow-up or communicating something from sales to operations, would you mind sharing how that would look?
Not only would I mind, it's I love this topic. I love systems. I'm a little bit anal retentive. I truly understand the value of systems, and I am a volunteer lecturer with SCORE, and I teach the importance of systems in my workshops with SCORE. Let me start from somewhat afar and mention something that majority of small business owners are skilled in their craft. Like, they know what to do as far as what their business does, whether it's manufacturing of widgets or it is delivering or producing a particular service. Like, people start business because they really know their thing. Well, if all that was required was just doing that thing to be successful, then everyone would be very, very successful. But statistics prove that that's just not the case. And statistics are such that only 4% of small businesses reach $1 million mark, and only 0.04% of all small businesses reach $10 million mark. Now, systems are absolutely imperative to keep you as a business owner sane. And to actually say that, yeah, my business is successful, you do need systems in place. Otherwise, you will just keep on slowly going insane day in and day out. At the high level, any business consists of five major areas. And each one of them has a functional purpose. Those five areas are marketing, sales, production, or some people call it operations. There is HR, or people, as I call it, and then there is management, or executive. So each one of those functional areas, as I mentioned, has a purpose. Marketing's purpose, there are two purposes, really. Purpose number one is attract prospective clients. Purpose number two, retain existing clients. Function of the sales system is to convert prospective clients into paying customers, and kind of the same thing with existing clients, so they come back and actually buy more. Obviously, the production or operations is actually creating the service or delivering the service or manufacturing whatever widgets your company manufactures. Your HR system is responsible for what I mentioned earlier, making sure that you have the right people doing the right things at the right times, and that the wrong people get the hell out of your company and go to work for your competitors as fast as possible. And the management or executive function or system is responsible for planning, making sure that plans get implemented, making sure that the implemented plans are producing the results that you hope for them to produce, and or making course corrections when needed. Five systems that are really running the whole business. Now, when you look at most small businesses, and I can't help but make an analogy here. I'm not a huge sports fan, but I do watch a hockey game here and there. When you see, you know, your team playing, let's say Blackhawks are playing, and one of our guys goes into penalty box, the probability of opposing team scoring a goal for those 2 minutes that he's in the penalty box is quite high. Now, imagine that two of your guys go into penalty box. Now, chances that the other team is going to score are like sky high. Mm-hmm. It is almost guaranteed, right? Just because you're weakened. Now, if you think about these five business systems, they're like your key players on the field. Remove one, and your business is not as strong as it could be. Remove two, and your business is barely hanging in there. Remove three, and now it's driving you toward insanity, because it's virtually impossible to stay sane when you're missing most of your key players. So, when we talk about systems, in a nutshell, it tells you what the objective is, how to accomplish that objective, and who is doing that, in a nutshell, right? Another way to look at systems is they're procedure manuals, right? Mm-hmm. They tell you what to do, when to do it, and what to expect out of it. if we are to take the most coveted system for most small business owners, and that's marketing, right?
Right.
Marketing system, just like any other system, always starts with an objective. And that objective better be a measurable objective, because in business, everything should really be run by numbers. Whatever gets measured gets managed. That's a quote from, I think it was Peter Drucker who said that.
Right.
It is incredibly important to know your numbers. Now, it doesn't matter whether you've been in business for 6 months or 16 years. If you do not have the numbers, life is going to be hard. But it's never too late to start developing those numbers. So you can set your objectives for any system, let's say marketing system, and say, in the year 2015, my company is going to generate 1,000 sales opportunities or leads. Mm-hmm. Just an example, right?
Sure.
That's your top level objective. Now, what are you going to do in order to generate those leads? Okay, you need to develop a little bit of know-how. Go read some books, go read some blogs, and learn about different marketing systems. Well, top level, there is inbound marketing, there is outbound marketing. Inbound marketing draws people to you. Outbound marketing requires your people to go out and find prospective clients. So there are your two big systems. How do you draw people inbound? Well, for example, in online world, you're going to present the right information in the right format. So when the right people are looking for you or looking for solution to their problems, they find you. Now, you need to know a lot more to put together that kind of system together. What do you need to know? You need to know the three M's. You need to know who your market is, right? You need to know what message will resonate with them. There are two essential messages that you need to put together. One of them is the unique selling proposition. And the best way, I couldn't put it as brilliantly as Dan Kennedy did when he said the best unique selling proposition goes like this. Why should I, your prospective customer, choose to do business with you over everyone else in your space? If you can answer that question coherently, you got yourself a beautiful, unique selling proposition. It really sets you apart from the rest of the herd. The second message that you should have is an irresistible offer. I don't know if I'm going too deep with this, but briefly, irresistible offer is something that allows your prospective customers an easy way to say, yes, I like this. I am willing to exchange something for this, whether it's monetary or just their contact information or whatever, right? It's think about the days before human beings developed a spoken language, right? There was one Neanderthal in front of the other Neanderthal, and I was like, I had a big stick, and I would be like, ooh. Ooh, as in like, you like this? Yep. And you'd be like, yeah, I like this, right?
So that's
an offer, and you're like, yeah, I like your offer, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's all part of marketing, because honestly, human beings, we evolved, but we're, in a nutshell, we're still kind of the same animal, right? So So you got to tell us why you're better than others, and you got to give us an offer that we can easily consume, right? It's all part of the marketing system, because if you do not put together those little pieces, like it's not going to work, right?
Yeah.
So you need to know who your market is. You need to know what your message is going to be. You need to know how you're going to follow up with your prospective clients. That's all part of the marketing system, right? How are you going to attract them? Who they are, how you're going to follow up with them. So it's market, it's message, and then it's media. How are you going to deliver that message or those messages to the right market, right? So in a nutshell, you would probably spend some time developing the system that's going to have a number of elements in it. Now, what most people do not know, it's not that they fail to realize this, they just do not know, is that to develop any kind of marketing system, you need to spend some time on research, right? So research always comes first. I forget who said that, but they said that a spectacular achievement is always preceded by unspectacular planning.
That's a great point.
Yeah, you got to spend the time, right? You got to spend the time. Before you get good at anything, you got to spend the time. It's an investment. Right? So you got to understand that the marketing system rests on those three M's, and each one of those three M's has a number of key elements. And should you skip one of those elements, life's going to suck, because you will struggle without understanding why you're struggling, right? So a system, in a nutshell, is based on research and putting together all the right elements to get the results that you want. At the end of the day, when you write up this system that's based on the research and you deploy that system, and when you deploy a system, you have to build those tools that you need to deploy the system, right? What you will get is, what you hope to get are the results that you want. Now, what most people do with marketing, for example, is instead of doing that, they look at media, where they're going to put their ad that looks like everybody else's ad, in the hopes that they're going to get someone to respond to that ad, and that's that doesn't lead to results.
Right. So what do you tell the owner of a business right now? Say it's a $300,000 business, whatever it is, and they're listening to this and they go, boy, I don't really have any systems in my business at all, and I feel like I'm playing the game with three guys in the penalty box.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you tell that person who's a little overwhelmed right now? They're a small company. They don't have a lot of manpower. Where do they focus first? How do they know what to focus on first?
That's a great question, Tom. So you have two choices. You're either going to get yourself educated in a hurry. And I mean, don't just read books, study them. Really understand how stuff works, right? Remember those five functional areas in the business? You want to be the executive of your team, of your company. Study them, get to understand them. Or you could do an overview of each one of those functional areas and then really focus on one to begin with. And that area is what's known as human resources. Because either you're going to do it yourself, or you're going to have to hire the right people to do it for you.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why you would need to have fundamental understanding of each area before you focus in depth on human resources is because you need to understand who is going to deliver results and who is not going to deliver results. And if you're the one who is interviewing people for all of these positions, you have to be able to separate BS from real stuff. So the reason why you'd want to focus on HR if you do not want to manage everything yourself is because you have to understand how to bring on the right people, how to get them situated within your structure, and how to make sure that they perform. So if I may, I'm going to touch on the people system, the HR system, for
sure.
Just a moment.
Absolutely.
So think about it this way. You have your team, right? You have your roster. There are those five silos, right? The five functional areas. And you got to make sure that you have a captain each one of those areas. Now, obviously, if your budget is very limited, you're going to need to prioritize. Who do I really need right now? What can I afford right now to get things going, right? So you could say, okay, marketing is number one. And marketing is always number one. As Dan Kennedy, I'm going to quote Dan Kennedy here as there because he's such a great guy. He said that marketing is the king, and everyone else is its servants. Marketing is the starting point on the conveyor belt. That's where your prospective customers enter into your funnel. If you don't have marketing, you don't need to worry about anything else. So let's say that you start with marketing and you say, I need myself a marketing captain. What you need to do is you need to understand how marketing works. Just the fundamentals. You do not need to know every step, but just the fundamentals. And then you need to understand how to bring on the right marketing person that will help you accomplish those results. So to understand how to bring on the right person, you need to understand, well, psychology a little bit, and you need to understand the process of bringing on the right person. Before you bring anyone on, you need to develop a job description. And that job description better not just say, here's what you got to do. It's got to say, here's what you got to do, and here's what kind of person can get this done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So their experience and their qualifications, right? And their personal attributes.
Yeah.
All part of a job description. You do not need to put all of that stuff in the ad that you're going to post on Indeed or Career Builder or whatever, right? But you need to know what kind of person is going to deliver. And I'll touch on a very, very important point. When you're bringing on people, initially you're looking for five big things. Number one is competency. Number two is compliance. Number three is integrity. Number four is intelligence. And number five is energy. Now, if one of those things is missing, you shouldn't hire them. The worst thing that could be missing is integrity. Because if they're missing integrity, you better hope that they're lazy and stupid. Because otherwise, they will kill you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a quote from Warren Buffett. I might be mistaken. But yeah, he said, like, you better hope that they're slow and stupid. Otherwise, they'll kill you.
Right.
Or they'll kill your business.
Yeah.
Right? So integrity is number one. So I ask all kind of crazy questions of my prospective employees before I hire them, including the question of, tell me about the last three times you took something without permission. As in, tell me about the last three times you stole something. That question is awesome because it leads you to a very interesting, you see very interesting reactions. Some people shut down, some people blush, but this question is kind of imperative to ask because at least in my businesses, I like to hire people that are good communicators. Good communicators are able to tell a story. And I like to people, well, I always hire people who I perceive as honest people because I don't have time to deal with dishonest people. So it's a great question to ask. Great question to ask. I ask it and I hear some amazing things from the times.
Like, what's one of the best answers you got that stands out?
The last one that I remember well was like, I stopped by my sister's and I really needed to get a bottle of wine, and this girl was going to visit someone, and she stole a bottle of wine from her sisters, and she's like, and then I never told her, and I kind of feel bad about that, you know. And you hear all kind of different things, you know, but no one ever talks about embezzlement, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, but like those small things, right? Tell me a story. I want if someone tells me I never take anything without permission. Oh man.
Yeah,
come on.
That's a line of crap.
Right? Like, I can tell you the last time I took something without permission. I'm embarrassed to say this, but I take Metro to work, right? And recently, as I was rushing out of the house, I realized that I do not have $2 in change for parking. So there's my son's piggy bank, where I am the one who deposits money into, and I promptly removed 8 quarters. He doesn't know about it.
Yeah.
But I pretty much stole $2 from my son. I put in a lot more than $2 in there, but still, right? So you gotta know those things. When you're recruiting people, you gotta understand people and you gotta know how to bring on the right people, because the right people, they will move your organization forward and forward and forward, and they will make your life better and your business better, and you're going to enjoy life, and they either make you or break you. It's impossible to succeed for a true army of one in business.
Right.
It's impossible.
That's some good stuff, man. That's awesome. Yeah. So as we kind of wrap this up here today, we're getting close to our end here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask you what bit of advice or words of wisdom do you think it's important for those listening right now? If you could share just one more thing about building a strong business, what comes to mind that would be of value to the people listening that we haven't talked about yet?
You know, I hear a lot of people say never stop learning. I can emphasize on that point because they mean it, and it is really ridiculously important to never stop learning. And there are various methods of learning. We all learn different ways, but as a business owner, if you stop learning, you're doomed. You're doomed for mediocrity or failure. The world we live in today is evolving so rapidly. How dare you to stop learning? There are employees that depend on you, your kids depend on you, and you depend on you.
Mm-hmm.
And your future, to a large degree, depends on you learning. Let me share with you how I learn and how people who are much, much, much better than me learn. I never really loved studying. I was always like a B minus, C plus kind of student all throughout my life. But as I grew up, I realized that there are many areas of interest that that I have, particularly business, where I actually enjoyed learning. And if I didn't enjoy learning, I kind of forced myself to do it until I would get to the point where I actually started enjoying what I was learning. Not everyone loves reading books. Guess what? There is Audible. Go to Audible and download those books, and I think it's Brian Tracy that coined the term drive time university.
Right.
If you spend half hour going to your business and half hour driving back, you have a solid hour of studying time. Yep. As you're driving. Multiplied by 50 weeks a year, that's 250 hours a year. That's like three college courses.
That's a lot of brain time there.
That's a lot of brain time. Stop listening to whatever FM. Mm-hmm. That's waste of time. Yeah, you may say, well, I'm so stressed out, I need to listen to some music and some bullshit talk on the radio. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. Study. Listen to people who are smarter than you, people who know more stuff. Learn, implement, life will be better. That's one way to study. Another way to study, as I recently discovered, and I know I'm kind of a latecomer to the game, but my son. He doesn't love to study. He loves to succeed, but doesn't love to study. He's just such a typical dude. Mm-hmm. And he came home a few months ago. He has this homework, and he is like, I don't know how to do this. I'm like, what do you mean? Didn't the teacher cover this in class? He's like, nope. I'm like, there's no way she didn't cover this in class. If she didn't, she wouldn't have given you this assignment. He's like, no, I didn't study this in class. I'm like, all right, let's see this. I'm sure I can explain this to a seven-year-old. And I forget what topic it was. And guess what? I actually couldn't explain it to the seven-year-old. And one of the reasons why I couldn't explain it, I studied it in a different language, and this had to do with grammar, and I actually couldn't explain it. And I was like, oh, crap, what do I do with this? And then it hit me. Well, there is YouTube. Why don't I go to YouTube and look this up? Maybe there is a good explanation. And sure as hell, there it was. A great explanation. So since then, I started searching different stuff on YouTube. And guess what? If you don't like reading, if you don't like listening, you can watch.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube.
Yeah, it really comes down. If you want to learn something bad enough, we certainly live in a time that it's possible.
It is. It's not just possible. It is so damn easy.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. So your life will be better as you learn stuff. I am an avid reader. I take train every day and I read every day on the train unless I have some work to do, and then I work on the train. But there's not a day that goes by without me studying something, reading something, and learning something. I love books on psychology because they teach you so much, and they're not your boring textbooks, but they're different books on different topics that talk about so many different things that it's fascinating. You know, I read the books and people sometimes give me different, like weird looks on the train because I start laughing because I'm like, man, I remember struggling with this shit 7 years ago. There, all I needed was like this page. You know, so never stop learning. All the tools are at your fingertips. They're so easy to come by. It's a crime against you if you don't study. And here are the stats. A typical business owner consumes 0.7, not a whole, but 0.7 books on the topic of business every 5 years.
Oh, man.
A typical CEO of a Fortune 500 company consumes 7 business books every year. These are guys that have been in the trenches for years and years and years and years. They attend all kinds of seminars and training. Many of them have master's degrees in business administration, and they read 7 books a year because they never stop learning. That's how they get there.
Right.
That's how you make the big bucks. There are assumptions that, like, I already graduated from college. I know a lot. You know, sometimes I hear something ridiculous, like, I don't have time to read books. I'm too busy living my life. Well, don't complain that your life sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, take the time to figure shit out. It's easy. It is so easy. So take the time. Learn. There are so many different ways to learn. If I have two more minutes, I'll tell you about how my mentor learns. I'm not there yet, but he has a fantastic, fantastic approach to learning. Do I have two more minutes?
You do. Let's hear it.
Okay, so here's how Darren Hardy learns. He has a crazy program. I forget all the numbers and the order they go into, but every quarter, before start of the quarter, he decides on what critical skill he wants to learn in the coming quarter. He picks that critical skill, and what he goes is he goes to Amazon and he searches for the books on that very subject. He picks top three books as rated by readers on Amazon. And he says, okay, these are the top three books on this topic. Then he goes to Audible and he looks for top three audio programs on that topic. He spends a bit of time in cars and on planes. So he selects top three books, top three audio programs. Then he Googles seminars or workshops on that very topic. And he looks for the best seminar or workshop he can find, and his approach is to find the most expensive one, because he knows that when you pay a decent buck for learning, the likelihood that you're going to be peddled some bullshit in the back of the room is slim to none.
Yeah,
it's those free ones that lure you in to tell you something that's big and you may not need it, right? So it's three books, three audio programs, one workshop. And what he looks for in all of this material, all of it, three actionable ideas. Not 300, not 30, three actionable ideas. He implements each one of those ideas either simultaneously or sequentially and tests each one of them for 3 weeks. Just 3 weeks. Plays with them. Sees how they're working out, what kind of difference they make in his life and his business, adjusts them, and retains what works and scraps whatever doesn't work. Darren Hardy is an incredibly successful individual. He's all about personal development. He knows so much, and that approach has created wonders in his life.
That's awesome advice. Thanks for sharing that, man. That's
absolutely
cool. I know that'll help people. Heck, if we even do a third of that, think of how much better off we would be, right?
Exactly. So, exactly.
Well, man, I've had a blast listening to you today, and I can feel your passion coming through my headphones right now for this stuff, and I knew it'd be a blast talking to you on here. Before we go, I have two requests. The first would be if somebody wants to get in touch with you, if they want to pick your brain or invite you to speak at something or whatever, share how we can find you. And then the second thing, if you're willing, could you say something like refuse to settle and build your strong life for us in Russian?
All right. So to address the number one request, absolutely. I still have my consulting website up and running. It is bersonbusiness.com. Anyone can contact me through that, or you could just email me, Sasha, S-A-S-H-A, at intechnic.com, and that's intechnic.com. As far as saying, никогда не сдавайтесь и идите вперед. There.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Can you say, give me the vodka?
Vodka, дайте. Now, there is something that you got to know about me. I don't drink vodka. I don't. I'll have an occasional dirty martini, but that's as far
as
it goes.
That's about it. All right.
That's about it, yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. Well, Sasha, thank you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And I guarantee you that I know there's people listening here that are going to get off this call. They're going to be jacked up to make some changes in their life and in their business. And thank you for being such a great example and a riot to talk to today, man. Best wishes, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks very much, Tom. It's been great. Thanks.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us today with Sasha and I. As always, take just one thing you've learned here today, put it into practice. Don't let it just sit on the shelf and do nothing in your life, but put it into practice. Follow Sasha's lead and be a strongpreneur. We'll see you guys next time.